Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Goldilocks and the Three Cares podcast, the podcast where we take a look at a self-published work with what's too hot, what's too cold, and what's just right. I'm Andrew.
And I'm Crystal.
And we didn't read anything this week, did we, Crystal?
No, I decided to be lazy.
No, we're actually doing a very special edition of the Goldilocks and the Three Cares podcast. We want to talk about what happens when you put a book down. Why do you put a book down? What are some of the things that authors can do to prevent readers from putting a book down? And what I'd like to do is to start off with, there was a book that was supposed to be meant for this particular edition, wasn't there, Crystal?
Yes, there was.
And it didn't make it, did it?
It didn't. I actually couldn't finish it.
And without telling us about the book, because we definitely, the whole purpose of the podcast is here, we're not a review, we're more of a commentary. What made you pick up the book?
I was looking for something with a lot of good reviews, and this particular book had a ton. It was, there was at least 50, if not more, 4 or 5 star reviews for this book. That being said, the description of the book really caught my attention. It was sort of a sci-fi mixed with fantasy elements, which... You basically, I'm already in when you...
We call that our wheelhouse.
Yeah, exactly. So I picked it up for those reasons.
And when you got into the book, how did you find the first, let's say, 20 or 30 pages? Did it grab you?
I read the first chapter, and I was willing to give it the benefit of the doubt. Because sort of right off the bat, there was a prophecy. In sort of the first chapter.
Okay. And we've talked about prophecies before and how we feel about them.
Yes. Where I'm very picky about how prophecies are done. Because I feel like it is I wouldn't say... If you know the prophecy right at the beginning, it gives the sense, the reader a sense of where the story is going to go.
And it creates urgency.
And usually. It creates urgency.
Yeah. And prophecies are time boxed.
Sort of bothers me. Okay. I don't mind a generic prophecy where, you must do this in order to usually typically save the world. What I particularly don't like is any indication that the main character is going to die.
Is that the moment when the book really started to unravel for you?
No, I mean... I kept reading because it was well written.
Okay.
I tend to give a book the benefit of the doubt because personally, I really can't get a sense. There's been books that I've read where the first, 100 pages or so, it's like trudging through mud. But once you get through that and the book continues, you get to the midpoint and things start becoming really awesome and things start happening and all the pieces fall together and it's really well constructed. Then I don't mind. The payoff is there.
Yeah. So I guess what I'm hearing is that there's certain dump points in a book. And to me, the very first dump point is page zero. Like I pick the book up or I'm looking at it online. The cover, the title, the description, the comments, the whatever, the what have you, doesn't interest me. I don't even start reading. What's the next dump point?
Well, I think for you, you dump even earlier.
I have like a very I don't have the sunk cost view on reading where I'm 50 pages in, therefore I should finish this book. I will just fold over the corner of the book, blasphemy, I know, and I will just leave it. And there are books under, on my nightstand that have had fold pages for a while. I've got what I wanted from them. I got the message. Oftentimes it's business books that I'll do this with that, in the first third they have to introduce the concept. And I'm like, I get it. The next two thirds is examples. Moving on. With fiction books, I dump them because I've guessed the plot, because I don't like the style, because there's something that bumps me out and it can be at any point in the book. I mean, how do you find, your dump points, let's say?
For me, I'd say, so I've heard this and I can't quite remember exactly which sort of conference it was. I think it was the Harborfront International Writers Conference. I attended a session there, but an editor was talking, or not an editor, an agent, and she said that she has a couple of places where she would stop reading. And I can totally relate to this. And I think if you think about it while you're reading, it's sort of the same thing. It's the 30-page mark, the 100-page, 200-page, and full manuscript.
So what's the 30-page mark then?
So the 30-page mark is around the time where you need your first plot point. So it's what you're setting the scene. What exactly is happening here and what is going to be happening in the rest of the novel?
Can you think of an example of a time that you dumped a book after 30 pages?
To be honest, see, this is how much I try to read the book. I really do. And it's been very rare that I've dumped a book after 30 pages. So for me...
At 30 pages, not after.
Sorry, yeah. At 30 pages. So for me, the 30-page mark, I skip. Because I feel like you can get to that point fairly quickly.
Yeah, it's the skeptic. It's like, you know, if you're going to start a new TV show, watch the first 3 episodes, not necessarily the pilot.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, if you're an agent, it's a different story. You have about 10,000 of these manuscripts and you got to get through them, right? I would say I've given up at the 100 page mark.
And what's that mark?
That's usually when, you know, you're not quite at the midpoint when all the characters get together. Plot point 2, things really need to start moving at this point. And so for me, if at this point your spelling and grammar has just been atrocious, you're using words incorrectly, you know, your characters are acting in a manner which betrays what your vision or what you interpreted them to be as, or even if the plot is just, where is this going? I'm not sure what's happening. Things aren't making sense. There's a lot of holes already.
And I'm just not invested.
Yeah, at that point.
And what's the next marker?
It's a halfway.
Okay, which is about 200 pages, we said?
About 200 pages. Yeah.
Maybe a little bit more, yeah.
Yeah, 200 to 300 probably.
And what happens at that point?
So that's the middle of your book. Typically, if it's a sort of an epic of a story, all your characters sort of are together at this point in the book, and you really have a sense of where the book is going and where it's headed.
So if you get through all those markers and you get to the end of the book, you should feel satisfied, ideally. Or you're stubborn and you just kind of push through.
There have been instances where I've been stubborn and pushed through. And then the payoff. It's that payoff, right? When you turn the last page of the book, there has to be some sort of payoff. Whether it's leaving you with a feeling of sort of being unsettled, but all your questions were answered. Or, you know, all the pieces just fell together so beautifully and magically that you're weeping hysterically at the end, right? It's there has to be some sort of payoff, and it has to be enough for the reader to feel satisfied.
You laugh at the fact that I dump books a lot quicker than you do. And it's, it's true. My numbers are, my drop points are 0, 1.
First sentence.
10, probably about a third of the way in. And if I get a third of the way into the book, I'm in. So like I said, 0 if I'm not attracted to the premise, the subject matter, the description, whatever it is, I don't even crack the book. When I say 1, I mean I read 1 page, and I always read, believe it or not, the last page first of a fiction novel.
I know you do that, and it drives me crazy because I don't know how you can do that.
It's because I read the end and it kind of gives me an understanding of how the book ends in terms of tone. And I also understand, you know, is this a book in a series? Is there a cliffhanger? Is that sort of a thing? I've actually never had a book spoiled for me by reading the last page. Usually the catharsis, the end moment happens a couple pages before that. So I kind of get, you know, oh, and he came home and he put his keys on the table and he grabbed a beer from the fridge and was like, that was a hell of a day. It's like, okay, he survives. It was weird.
But see, it spoils it because, you know, he survived. Like,
yeah. The one time I didn't do that was with Miss Peregrine's School for the Peculiar Children, and it turns out that was a book in a series, and when I finished it, I was mad. I broke my own rule. And then about 10 pages into it, for me, it's, you know, the style of the writer. Like, do they convey their message well? Do they use the words the right way?
So similar to...
Yeah, do they... Yeah, it's kind of the 30-page, 100-page mark for other people. 10 pages in, because that's by and large when the author spends the most amount of effort kind of like luring people in. And to me, if you don't attract me with your best offer, it ain't uphill from there.
Which is a good point, too, because reading, and I just noticed this especially in self-published works, is that I always find that the beginning is always very heavily edited.
Yeah, it's because you write a book from A to Z, right?
But also it's what people read first.
Yeah.
And it's also what you submit to agents or editors or even friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I always find that interesting because, and that's why I kind of find that it's usually the 100 to 200 page mark that I stop reading, because it falls apart. That's where it tends to fall apart.
Yeah, for me, the 100 page mark is when I come to the point and I say, you know, I'm now 2-3 hours into, I'm not a fast reader, 2-3 hours into it. And
10 years later,
I'm 10 years, oh, reading. I've got a beard down to my knees.
Forced.
10 year, you know, I'm a third into it. You know, I've invested this amount of time. Have they set up enough of the dominoes for me to spend double the amount of time I've already sunk to go into it? I mean, I kind of think about it like, you know, gambling at a blackjack table. I'm already down $50. Yeah. Do I want to try to win that $50 back by betting another $100? Or am I just going to tap out and head to the bar? And I tap out and head to the bar. And that's why I have a large number of abandoned books. I probably abandoned about a third of the books. Now that I think about
this, like,
there needs to be like a little,
A little shelter for
books
that abandoned I've been. Books.
Oh, and there's some notable titles on there too.
Really?
Yeah, it's not good.
Well, that's depressing.
So knowing that there are these dump points as a writer, how do you approach that? Like, what do you do to prevent the dumping?
That's a really complex, sort of multi-layered question, right? Because then you start talking about, okay, for me, it's about the character.
Okay.
Because you can have a plot and you can have plot points for where you want to go, etc., how you want the book to end. But if that plot then requires your character to do something that is completely out of character for them,
mm-hmm.
then you have a problem.
So I guess let me maybe rephrase my question. If you give your manuscript to somebody to read, what kind of questions would you ask to find out where they dumped the book? I mean, is it as simple as, when did it become tough for you to read?
Yeah. Well, it's basically, I would like you to mark down every time that you are bumped or that you lose interest.
You looked at the clock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or that you were like, oh, I guess, you know, I'll just try and read through this. It'll probably pick up again soon, right? That is something that you should definitely ask, because either it's in the way you're describing something, or it's in the plot itself, or you haven't gone deep enough with your characters.
For me, you know, I approach it from the view of a project manager, which I'm trained at, and it's the cost of change curve, right? Like, on the first draft, that's when you want to know when there's places that there's
yes.
these serious holes, because that's when there's the greatest amount of time and the least amount of effort to change it. You will never have another opportunity like your first finished draft. The next best opportunity is your second draft, and the third best opportunity is your last draft. When you have what you believe is a finished publishable product and you give it to somebody and they're like, yeah, sorry, man, I got about 30 pages into it, you have a whole other problem.
Yeah. The editing process is sort of a continuous thing. And that's why a lot of authors are really pro outlining as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can kind of cover those holes. It also explains why, you know, writing is a solitary process, but it really isn't at the same time too, because you need to figure out what's working and what's not right at the beginning.
Everybody, we hope you enjoyed just our understanding of why we didn't have a book this week and what we look for when we do happen to dump a published book, a self-published book, regardless. Crystal, where can we find us online?
We are on Twitter at Everything's Temp. We're also on Facebook, Everything's Temporary. And you can also find us on www.everythingstemporary.com.
Everybody, I'm Andrew.
And I'm Crystal. Until next time, keep reading.